So, dads, I don't know if you've ever experienced this or not, but you have a child of yours that has been injured by a sibling through rivalry of some sort, and that child is crying and comes running toward you for comfort, and they run right by you. And where do they end up? To mom, don't they? Why is that? I don't understand that really, but I'm soft and cuddly too. But they just don't want dad for some reason. But anyway, whenever they're injured like that, whether it was a stick or a baseball bat or a knife or something, you know, it's really not that bad until they see the blood. Once they see the blood, then it becomes this catastrophe. And so then it's even worse yet, correct? You know, we test our blood to see how healthy that we are. We collect blood for donors to use whenever there's an accident or a situation for a transfusion. And blood has been recognized as important clear back to the beginning of time. I remember a man who, if you even spoke of blood in conversation with him, he got lightheaded and he would, you better get him a chair because he was going to pass out. Okay, blood has power. And blood was important, clear back to the beginning of time. In Genesis chapter 4 and verse 4, Abel brought of the firstborn of his flock to the Lord, didn't he? And the fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. There was a shedding of blood that took place. God recognized that, even though at that time there was no Levitical law. But God recognized that sacrifice as good. Also in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 20, Noah built the ark, an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and every clean bird and offered a burnt offering on the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. There was something about that shedding of blood that God respected. He loved to smell that offering and to sense that man was doing what he required of them. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 22, God told Abraham to take his son, his only son Isaac, and to offer him as a sacrifice to God as a burnt offering, and the blood would have been shed. Exodus chapter 7 and verse 17, the first plague was water turned to blood. And then in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 7, when the Passover was initiated, God tells the congregation of Israel to do what to the doorposts and the lintels? But to apply the blood to them so that the death angel would pass over that house. In Genesis chapter 9 and verse 4, it says this about the blood. You shall not eat flesh with its life. For it is blood. That is, it's blood. Let me read that again, since I butchered it. But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. There's life in the blood. Now, you can argue the steak that is rare, whether or not that's blood or not. That's why you eat it medium rare. Then it's not as bloody, right? But God was telling Noah at this time, you don't eat the flesh with its life. That is the blood. Now, I know some of you ladies of older generation probably made or had made or ate even, and men too, blood pudding. Actual blood was used for that. I don't know if I would want to get my spoon into that or not. But the life is in the blood. Here's three key things that blood do. And I beg your pardon, those of the medical profession, if I have not done my due justice here. But anyway, three key things that blood does, and there's a lot more than this. But one is it transports. Blood in our body transports oxygen to and takes carbon dioxide away from the important organs of our bodies and nutrients. So it's a transporter. Secondly, is it a protector? We have white blood cells within our blood that fight off invading sicknesses and those sickness-causing cells. How am I doing? All right. Thirdly, it also regulates. And it regulates the pH of our body. And how it does that is by transferring water to and from tissue. So those three things could be key when it comes to blood. There's life in the blood. Without that happening within our bodies, we would be 10 toes up, dead. There's life in the blood. So how much blood is there? In the human body, there is 1.2 to 1.5 gallons of blood. In a sheep, there is 0.4 gallons of blood. Not quite a half a gallon. Okay? Not quite half a gallon. I recently butchered two sheep at home. I have a new respect for the Levitical priesthood and the shedding of the blood of a lamb. And I'll talk about that a little bit later. The goat has a half a gallon blood. A bull, 10 gallons of blood. An African elephant, 65 gallons of blood. And to top it all off, the great blue whale, 1,750 gallons or 14,000 pounds of blood. The blood's important. There's power in the blood. And there are things that the blood does. So on the Day of Atonement, when those priests fulfilled the requirement sacrifices made for the children of Israel, a total of 11.8 gallons of blood would have been spilt on that day. When I slit the throat of that lamb, the blood splattered, even though I did not want it to, upon my arms and upon my hands and even upon my clothes. Think about those priests wearing the robes and how bloody they got on a single day. There's important things to think about as we move forward here. Blood plays the most important role when it comes to life, either physically or spiritually. The life is in the blood. So consider with me today three things about the blood. One is that the blood completely cleanses. Secondly, the blood continually covers. And third, the blood confers, or it gives, grants, or bestows. So it confers confidence. Completely cleanses, continually covers, and confers confidence. What can wash away my sins? What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22. In thinking about how blood completely cleanses us. Now, I just talked about the shedding of that lamb's blood on my property, the blood that got me dirty is what it looked like, right? And when those Levitical priests got done slicing the throat of the lamb and getting bloody, the laver was there, remember? We walked in and it was used to wash then that blood away. The blood cleanses, though. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22, it says that, and according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission. See, God has always required a shedding of blood for the cleansing to take place. Whether it was for the cleansing of the leper, purifying of the woman after she had childbirth, or cleansing of the articles to be used in the worship of our Lord, a shedding of blood took place. A sacrifice. The blood was applied in order to sanctify, set apart, or cleanse the person or the article. Purifying of the flesh. Hebrews chapter 10 verses 3 and 4 says, but in those sacrifices, though, there is not a forgiveness of sins, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls or the blood of goats or the blood of sheep or turtle doves or whatever God required could take away sins. Let's back up just a few verses in Hebrews chapter 9, starting in verse 13. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience, cleanse your heart, cleanse your soul from dead works to serve the living God. See, those physical sacrifices that were being made did no more than wash away the dirtiness of their deeds. But the blood of Jesus Christ completely cleanses our hearts, our minds, and our souls of all sin. It does so much more than purifying of the flesh. His blood cleanses us completely so that we may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Peter would tell us in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, knowing this, that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world that we might be justified through him. Paraphrasing there. Made clean by the blood of the Lamb. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the good pleasure of his will. Completely cleansing us. Shawnee and I like to butcher chickens every year. And whenever we get the urge to finally do it, you have to work yourself up to that, okay? Shawnee likes to cut those things up, and her kitchen is covered with all the juices and the yuckiness of butchering chickens, right? And when we get done, she goes in and she cleans that counter, cleans the utensils, cleans the knives, gets the bleach out. Things stink like hospital or something, you know. And she cleans that thing, but if you look on the bottle of the stuff that she used to clean, what's it say there? Kills 99.5% of all germs. It doesn't completely clean. I give to you that the blood of Jesus Christ does not do 99.5%, brethren, but 100% of your sins have been cleaned by the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And Jesus said in Mark chapter 3 and verse 28 that all sins will be forgiven the sons of men in whatever blasphemies they may utter. And Jesus said one more time, this is the blood of my covenant, new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And their sins and their lawless deeds, according to Hebrews 10:17, I will remember no more. As far as the east is from the west, he has removed our transgressions from us. It's not 99.5%. It's not 99.9%. It is 100% of the sins of my life have been washed away by the blood of the Lamb. In Micah chapter 7, Micah chapter 7, verses 18 and 19. I love the imagery that we get from these two verses about our sins and what God does with them. It says here, who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. His mercy endures forever, right? And he will again have compassion on us. And I like the way that the ESV translates this next portion of the verse. I'm going to read it this way. And he will tread our iniquities underfoot. The King James or New King James says he will subdue our iniquities. But the ESV says, tread our iniquities underfoot. And then he says that you will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, God has taken those sins, he looks at those sins, and he takes them and he trumps them under his foot. Smashes them things up, and what's he do with them? Throws them into the depths of the sea, never again to be remembered. Gone. 100% of them, gone. because of the blood of our Savior. A complete cleansing takes place. Oh, what a great cleansing that is, and what a great blessing that is. The blood completely cleanses. It also continually covers. And before the flood, God spoke to Noah, and he said this in Genesis 6 and verse 14. He said, now, Noah, he said, make me an ark of gopher wood. And he gave him some dimensions, and he said this about what he was to do with this ark. Rooms thou shalt make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. Now, those two words pitch here mean two different things. The first pitch means to cover, to appease, to cleanse, forgive, pacify, or pardon. So God is really saying to Moses here, he said, I want you to cover the interior and the exterior of this boat with pitch. And this is kind of a bituminous, tarry type substance that he was to use. Another way of translating that word pitch. Kafar is the word that we're looking at here that talks about covering. Okay? Now, if you want to read with me in Leviticus chapter 17, it talks about atonement. It says in Leviticus 17:11, it says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. We already heard that. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the souls. The same exact word that was used when God was talking to Noah about pitching or covering the boat is used here, kafar. So if you translate it then, you see it says, I have given it to you upon the altar to make a covering for your souls. For it is the blood that makes a covering or atonement for your souls. Or there's forgiveness. Or there is this recognition then because it has been covered. In order for the Israelites to be clean from their sins on the Day of Atonement, and you can see that in chapter 16 and verse 30, the priest shall make atonement for you to cleanse you. Same word kafar was used there. That you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. In order for them to be clean, the blood of a bull, a ram, and goats had to kafar the priests. There had to be application of the blood to them and to the articles, to the mercy seat, the holy place, and the altar in order for God to recognize this act of service to them. Follow me here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul describes the gospel. He declares it to Corinth, and he says, that which you received, in which you stand, by which you were saved. The gospel. And the gospel is the death and the burial and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. It's him dying and shedding that blood. He's being buried and rising in the newness of life. And we reenact that in baptism, don't we? So in obedience to the gospel, we die to our sins. And when we die to our sins, the blood of Jesus Christ then is flowing down upon us. It's where we come into contact with him. And it covers us completely. And it continues to cover us. So that just like when God recognized the sacrifices of the old law, he recognizes us also of being covered with the blood of the Lamb. And respects us and sees us of not just who I am, sinful man, but the sacrifice of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. The death, the burial, and the resurrection gives us an opportunity to be covered and walk in newness of life, covered with the blood of Jesus. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. The blood of Jesus Christ is the last atoning sacrifice for the sins of men. It's not going to happen over and over and over again, but rather there's enough blood that came from Jesus to do for mankind until the end of time, covering us completely. Let's go to Romans chapter 3. And look at verses 23 through 25. It says here, we all know this one, that all man has sinned, right? And falls short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God has passed over the sins that were previously considered. Jesus became the propitiation. This word means mercy seat. If you remember, the mercy seat was to go on top of the Ark of the Covenant. And it was there that the cherubim were to touch their wings together. And who sat upon the mercy seat? God did. This is where God dwelt. And it was only because of the blood that was shed, that was applied to the mercy seat, that God dwelt there. The blood was not applied, he was not going to dwell there. If you go back into the Levitical law and look and read about that, it was only after those initial sacrifices were made that God filled the tabernacle and he sat upon the mercy seat. And that's when the cloud and the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night then started taking place. Propitiation means mercy seat. Covered the Ark of the Covenant to make reconciliation for. The blood of Jesus Christ covers us. He's the propitiation. He's the mercy seat for us. Okay, so that we can be reconciled to God. God no longer sees me just as who I am, but because of the blood of Jesus, he then dwells within me. See, that blood continually covers us, and that is good. Because that's what gives us the opportunity to be reconciled back to God. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verses 19 through 22 says this. For it pleased the Father that in him all fullness should dwell, and by him, by Jesus, to reconcile all things to himself. By him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. I'm so glad that I have the blood of the cross continually covering me. And offering reconciliation, as verse 23 says there. If indeed we continue in the faith. See, there's an expectation that comes with the blessing of the blood. And that expectation is that we live according to what God wants us to live. If we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. According to Hebrews 10:26. Be holy, for I am holy. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Galatians 5 and 1. The expectation is that we would not just use the blood of Jesus as liberty to do whatever we want to in our lives, but rather use the blood of Jesus as a blessing to be recognized and reconciled back to God. For you, brethren, have been called unto liberty, only don't use it as liberty, as an opportunity for the flesh. The blood of Christ continually covers us, but the expectation is to walk worthy of our Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. We need to surrender ourselves to Christ to allow his blood to cover us and do its work within us. It will make a change in you. Don't rely on self. Don't rely on me to make those changes, because I can't do them by myself. It's only because of the blood of Christ and his power and the Spirit that dwells within me can I change into what God wants me to be. The blood continually covers. Lastly, the blood confers or gives us confidence. Because of the blood of Christ, I have confidence knowing that I have been reconciled to God. The fear of sin and death no longer reigns within me, no longer haunts me, but the power, the Spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy chapter 1 in verse 7. I like what Revelation tells us in chapter 7 and verse 13 through 17. When it comes to having confidence because of the blood. One of the elders answered and said to me, "Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?" Well, I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and wash their robes, made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Now, that doesn't make sense, does it? We just talked about how the blood splattered all over this priest and got them all bloody. And here they're saying, well, that's what the blood does, is it makes us white, doesn't it, in God's sight. Oh, that's them. That's the ones that wash their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God. Therefore, they are before the throne of God, and they serve Him all day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall never hunger anymore or thirst anymore. And the sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Wearing those white robes washed in the blood of the Lamb bestows a great level of confidence for us, brethren. It's no longer fear that has control of my life, but rather there's boldness because of the blessing of God and His Son Jesus. The confident blessings that gives us the confident to serve before the throne. Standing before the throne, ready and willing to serve. No hunger, no thirst, living fountains of water to drink from, and no more tears. Now that's how we should live in this life. Having that type of confidence in the blood of the Lamb. Not relying upon the things of this world to give us comfort or confidence, but Jesus Christ's blood that covers me and offers me reconciliation. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12 says, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." But Alan, there's so much going on. There's so much stuff that's coming at me, bombarding me from the left and from the right. Yes, I agree. We all have struggles and trials in our Christian lives. But listen to what Romans says in 8:31. God is for us. Who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? There is confidence to overcome those situations only because the blood of Jesus covers me. In Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 11, it talks and continues to talk about the confidence through the blood. Romans 5, verses 6 through 11. "For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath from Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." Because of the blood of Christ, we have boldness, we have peace, knowing that we no longer will taste the vengeance of God, the wrath of God, but rather we will be blessed with the inheritance that comes through Him. Confidence to continue in this life in a relationship with God. In John chapter 1 and verse 29 it says, "The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world.'" How powerful that blood is that came from His hands, His head, His feet, and His side. It completely cleanses us from our sins. It continually covers us. And it confers confidence within us. Revelation chapter 5 verses 9 and 10 says this. They sang a new song saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood. Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, you have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Oh, the power that's in the blood. The blood does amazing things within our body. And the blood does amazing things within our hearts and our souls. If you have not been able to or have not partaken of the blessing of the blood of Christ, have not obeyed the gospel, reenacted the gospel, which is dying to your sins and being covered with the blood of Jesus, buried in a watery grave of baptism, and raising again just as Jesus did to walk a new life, then you are not protected from the wrath of God. You do not have confidence to stand before His throne, being justified by the blood of Christ. If you need that cleansing today, won't you make that known as we stand and sing the closing song?